Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw, the second night of the big draft at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We're going to be basically focusing on the draft because the show, as far as the wrestling is concerned, was almost non-existent. The matches that we had were fair to average, and there was really nothing major to discuss. A few things that we'll get into, but let's face it, this whole show was built around the draft and some hype for Crown Jewel. So let's get to the first pick. And the first pick is Becky Lynch, who sort of picks herself, doesn't she? She comes out in the very beginning and basically says, I'm the first pick. Okay, well, we knew that was coming, didn't we? If Charlotte's on SmackDown, then certainly Becky is going to be on Raw. So as we had surmised, that's absolutely no surprise whatsoever. She would have basically had to go first because who in their right mind would have allowed her to slip by and have only SmackDown have the women's champions. So really no big surprise as far as Becky Lynch being the number one pick, and kind of anticlimactic that she comes out there before they even, she could have made a pitch for it. She could have came out and said, I should be the number one pick. But to come out there and declare herself the number one pick was a little bit weird, Mike. I'm not really sure, I'm not really sure that was the right way to go with this.
Right. That was not the right way to go. Usually when you see things like this happen, it's sort of a consensus deal, right? And it's like, when you see the NFL or NBA draft and it's like player X from college Y is, according to all the experts, the guy that you have to have to start out your franchise with, right? That's the way these things generally work. They don't declare themselves the guy. It's all the so-called, quote, end quote, experts that declare them the guy. So that's what makes it.
Right. Plus, not only is she declaring it herself, but it's bloody obvious. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to allow SmackDown to take the second pick and take Becky Lynch so there are no women's champions on your show? Of course not. So not only does she declare it herself, but it's so freaking obvious that there's no reason to declare it at all. So I thought that was kind of anticlimactic and pretty dumb. And then guess what? With SmackDown's first pick, Todd, the Usos. Oh, so all this was for nothing. All of this tension on Friday night, will Paul Heyman somehow try to separate the Usos and Roman Reigns? Why were they not put in the first round of the draft? And if Paul Heyman doesn't get it done, leave him for dead over there on Raw. How in the world does that plays into nothing? They just led you down a dead-end road and said, yeah, we're just picking the Usos.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. And like you said about people are hard, holding the belt and everything, the champions should not be involved in the draft who has the belts. It should be left alone and stay there.
I absolutely agree. It's anticlimactic because, of course, you're going to take the champions first. Why wouldn't you take the champions first? Next pick for Raw is Bobby Lashley. Now, that one surprises me. I'm not going to lie to you. The way they've been treating Bobby Lashley, my thought process was, well, he's heading to SmackDown. Because he's been losing, and I'm pretty damn sure he's going to lose to Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. So I'm a little bit shocked, Mike, that they would take him. Apparently they still have big plans for him, but I really thought this was his opportunity to move to SmackDown.
I thought so, too. And frankly, look, I mean, I enjoyed his mic work, but it's obvious he misses MVP. I mean, he's good on the mic, but MVP is 10 steps better than him, all right? Even more than that. So he misses MVP, and he misses big.
I agree with that. I mean, he's holding his own, but it's not the same. It's definitely not the same. And for SmackDown's last pick in the first round, they took Sasha Banks. Okay, well, then that's basically what's been happening anyway. So that's probably not that big of a surprise either. I didn't see Sasha. Although, you know, with Becky Lynch coming over, you would assume that Sasha Banks was going to start a feud with her and Bianca Belair, right? She's going to SmackDown, which kind of means I doubt she's winning at Crown Jewel, because if she won at Crown Jewel, she'd be the SmackDown, she'd be the Raw champion. She'd be the Raw champion on SmackDown, Mike, so they've kind of given away that ending.
Yeah, they kind of given it away, and frankly, they keep doing this over and over again. It's not just this. It's not just in the draft. No, they do it on a regular basis with different things, you know, give things away that they shouldn't give away.
I 100% agree with that. I mean, my first thought process was, well, that makes sense to have Sasha Banks. And I said, wait a minute, no, it doesn't actually make sense. She's having a big match against two of the top Raw people, the champion now, as well as Bianca Belair, the former champion. Well, I guess she's not winning, because if she wins, then I guess Raw has the only two women's champions on there. It doesn't make any sense. This is why you have to really scratch your head at this company. You just have to scratch your head. If anyone should have been a free agent, it should have been Sasha Banks, because then you would have been left with the impression, why would a top name like Sasha Banks be left as a free agent? Maybe she's going to win. You know, you at least lead the fans down a blind alley of maybe she's going to win. Now we know already. I can almost guarantee you Becky Lynch is winning, and I'll tell you why I know. Why would you put it right back on Bianca Belair? There would be no reason to do that. On top of that, Sasha Banks winning would make Raw have all the women's champions. So you've literally tipped your hand. You've literally showed your cards, and it's not the only time that they've done that, Todd. We'll get to it in a minute. They've done it again on last night's show.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about Sasha Banks. She should be like not a Raw superstar or a SmackDown superstar. She should be like a free agent. That she should have been. Should be available for both shows as a free agent. But they didn't.
Or at least be able
route.
To pick her show. If she picked her show, then we'd say, well, she could win, couldn't she? Terrible job by the WWE. But then we get even worse, because Big E comes out for his promo. And he says, you know, there's a guy here who's definitely deserving of a title shot, and it's Drew McIntyre. Well, Drew McIntyre's been drafted to SmackDown. So he sure as hell isn't winning the belt. Now, at first I thought they're doing a smart thing, because Drew McIntyre was acting like he wasn't going to go for the title shot based upon the fact that he was drafted to SmackDown. It was beginning to sound like he was saying, I was going to ask for a title shot, but since I'm being drafted to SmackDown anyway, I guess I'll just come out here and congratulate you and tell you earned it, which would have been cool. Nope, they couldn't do that. He still wants a title shot. That brings out the Dirty Dogs. Now, the only really good part of this episode, in my opinion, is Dolph Ziggler's speech here, because it does make a modicum of sense. Now, it's not that they owe him a thank you, but he is right. He did bring in Big E as his bodyguard, and he did bring in Drew McIntyre as his bodyguard. And because in his mind we see where he's coming from, this whole thing makes sense. It makes perfect sense. I thought it was a pretty good promo. It's a decent match, not a great match. But this was one of the only things, Mike, on the show that made perfect sense, because in Ziggler's head and in his world, it does make sense. What are you saying?
Yeah, it does make sense. And I mean, look, I mean, he did a very good job. And I tell you the truth, I think Rude did a good job as well.
I think Rude did a good job, too. And I think Big E did a really good job. The line of the night is where Bobby Rude says, well, they call me Big Bob. And Big E says, literally, no one calls you that. No one. Zero people call you that. I thought that was really good, actually. They have a good, pretty good chemistry together on the mics and things. But, again, it's not enough to save this nonsense, because at the end of the match, Drew McIntyre says, well, I mean, Big E says, if you want the title shot, you've earned it. You'll get it at Crown Jewel. Well, I wonder who's winning that match. So now you've given away two of your big matches at Crown Jewel. You've given away the triple threat women's match, and you've given away the title match for Big E's belt. Congratulations. I can't believe this company does this. I can't believe it, but they do it all the time. It's not just once in a while. They do this stuff constantly. And that's why their fans get so uptight about it, because it gets old after a while. Anyway, that was it for round one. Round two starts out with Seth Rollins. Well, what a surprise that if Becky Lynch is drafted to Raw, Seth Rollins is coming. And Edge was drafted to Raw, so Seth Rollins is coming. You tipped that one, too. You tipped your hand on that one, too. We all said on Sunday's show, you can be guaranteed Becky Lynch is coming, and that means Seth Rollins is coming. Absolutely no surprise, Todd. Plain as the nose on your face.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said, with Seth Rollins, Edge, and Becky Lynch, all three of them got drafted Raw on the same show. It's just not a great thing right there.
Well, just very obvious. I mean, again, there's no big surprises here, Mike. We knew this on Sunday.
We knew this on Sunday as well. And look, I mean, as hard as they're trying with Becky Lynch to make her a heel, the fans don't seem to be taken to it. They're cheering her no matter what she says. No matter what she does, they're cheering her. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be hard. They had to know it was going to be hard. And it's especially the way she's playing this heel, because the way she's playing the heel, she's not doing anything all that dastardly. She's being a little arrogant and a little bit whatever, but she's being almost like a gray area heel. And if you want to flip somebody that popular, there's no gray area. You got to go all the way. Next pick is King Nakamura and Rick Boogs. How come you get to pick two? They're not a tag team. One of them's a champion. You get to pick two? Again, what's the rules here, folks? You just arbitrarily get to pick two people? Why? You didn't do that with Retribution. And later on, I'll give you some other people you didn't do it with. Because Raw Talk, we got a whole bunch more. And a lot of tag teams broken up. But apparently Nakamura is conjoined at the hip with Rick Boogs, and you can pick them as one. Mike, what the hell sense does that make? I mean, again, what's the rules?
I get what you're saying about what's the rules, and and what sense does it make? But again, I look at him. The reason why Rick Boogs is where he is right now is Nakamura. That's the reason. We made the point of asking, why is a rock guitarist with Nakamura when he first showed up, right? Well, Boogs is over because of Nakamura. So it makes somewhat sense. But again, yeah, you're right. In one way, it makes sense, but in one way, it doesn't make sense. So It's confusing.
Well, it makes sense in what you're saying from the angle of, you know, if you want to break kayfabe, yeah. You can't separate Rick Boogs. He's not going to be that popular if you separate Rick Boogs. But from the standpoint of what they're presenting, where you have to have one pick unless they're a tag team, that they're not a tag team. So how can you do that? How can you say, well, we have to draft Retribution one at a time, but we can have Nakamura and Rick Boogs? I'm sorry, that is ludicrous. And once again, Todd, it makes you wonder, what's the rules to this draft?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, there's no rules in this draft, by the looks of it.
No, so guess what happens? Nakamura is drafted, along with Rick Boogs, obviously, and he stays on SmackDown. So I wonder who the next pick is going to be. Oh, it's Damian Priest who gets to stay on Raw. This draft, I'm telling you, it made my head explode. It is so damn stupid. Get the champions out of the draft. Because it's quite obvious if one takes one of the mid-card champions, the other one's going to take the other. It's so damn obvious. Ridiculous. Time-wasting. It's not like it's a big announcement. I'll tell you the truth. You should take the champions out of it completely, and then I don't think you should be able to pick somebody who's already on your show. I think the idea is you have to take someone from SmackDown, and they have to take someone from Raw or NXT. Because then it makes a big deal. It's just, we're going to keep so-and-so. Big deal. And lastly, Mike, SmackDown gets Sheamus. That's probably a pretty good idea. He's had a pretty good run here on Raw, and he's feuded with who he can feud with. And maybe over on SmackDown, he'll get some fresh attention.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And the fact of the matter is, there are some high points in this draft, but on the whole, doesn't make sense.
No, on the whole, well, logically, it doesn't make any sense because whatever the rules are, they're arbitrary. You can pick two or three or five people, apparently, or you can just pick one, which makes no sense. So let's move on to round three, and much to my surprise, AJ Styles and Omos does not get broken up, and they stay on Raw. I'm surprised. I have to tell you, I'm pretty surprised. I thought they'd done what they're going to do with AJ Styles and Omos, and they're going to move them on to individual competition, but apparently not. Apparently, they don't think Omos is ready. Apparently, they still think AJ needs to carry him through, and so they're going to stay here, which at least makes a little bit of sense because now, Todd, at least we're not 100% sure who's going to win that match in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the match with Omos and AJ Styles versus Riddle and Randy Orton. Well, like you said, it kind of makes sense right there to keep Styles and Omos together. Now you just don't have one big guy like Omos as a monster heel, and you got that Commander Z, also a big heel on Raw.
Yeah, and plus, again, we don't – I mean, if they had said they're broken up or they had said they're going to SmackDown, well, then obviously they're not going to win in Saudi Arabia. So at least that one made a little bit of sense, I guess. Shayna Baszler goes to SmackDown after totally destroying Dana Brooke. And I got to tell you, it's not just a matter of destroying Dana Brooke. I mean, they were vicious to Dana Brooke. Corey Graves was saying, well, she's never lived up to her potential. She should just move on, find something better to do with her life. She's never going to be successful. Having all the tools doesn't mean you can build a house. And I'm like, wow, what the hell are they shitting all over Dana Brooke for? It's really weird, Mike.
Yeah, it was really weird. And it kind of makes you wonder if she's going to be the next one that gets, well, the axe.
Man, from what they were saying, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Kevin Owens moves to Raw. Well, that's a good thing. Maybe he'll be a little bit more utilized on Raw, because he sure as hell wasn't getting anything going on SmackDown. So moving to Raw is probably not a bad decision. Xia Li goes to SmackDown. Now, I don't know how I feel about this. Xia Li's okay, but I don't know. There's something about the way she presents herself and the way she wrestles that I'm thinking she's going to get over as like a second-rate Asuka. And I don't know. I don't know, Mike, if this is the greatest move. I think there was other people they could have took ahead of her.
Yeah. I mean, I would have thought they would have taken the other Japanese, you know, what's her name, other than Xia Li, you know, Io Shirai,
yeah. Absolutely, that's what I thought, too. I thought Io Shirai. But no, it's Xia Li. I don't know, Todd, I'm not too thrilled about that. We'll see what happens, but, you know, again, I don't see this being anything huge.
You're absolutely right there, like you said about Xia Li. Like Mike said, I would take the other Japanese girl out to bring her up to the main roster and keep Xia Li on NXT.
Yeah, I think Io Shirai would have been a better fit, but anyway. Round four. Oh, boy. The Street Profits. Well, I guess we know why, right? We said on Sunday's show they're not intending on breaking up any couples. So we know Bianca Belair is over here. So here comes her husband. Okay. I mean, they basically were on Raw before. They were just on SmackDown for a relatively short period of time, and they're back on Raw. So no real surprise here, Mike, and no big deal.
No big deal. And look, I mean, it was a good idea when they brought them out and they did that little deal with the New Day, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. Maybe they'll have a feud. I don't know. Maybe they'll do something with the Street Profits, turn them heel or whatever. Viking Raiders, because you got to trade tag team for tag team, I guess. Viking Raiders goes to SmackDown. Not much to say there. Finn Balor on Raw. That's different with Roman Reigns. They've cut that angle completely. I guess we're never going to know why the rope broke. Just fate, I guess. I thought there might be a storyline attached to it. I don't know what the storyline was going to be, but I thought there might be something attached to it. Some reason for that ending. Apparently, no. There is no reason for that ending. Just a malfunction of the ring. I heard they're going to use Finn Balor on Raw, that Balor is going to be a major part of Raw. If that's the truth, well, okay. At least you brought over a guy you're going to use, but a very unsatisfactory ending to his SmackDown call-up, Mike, because, again, there were a lot of loose ends that don't seem to be tied up.
Well, does it surprise you that they did this? I mean, how many times in the past that they've let us down someplace only for it to be a blind alley?
No, it doesn't surprise me, but I'll tell you, it disappoints me because if you booked that thing, you would have thought you had something in mind. But apparently you had nothing in mind. I'm pretty sad. Round five, Karrion Kross stays on Raw. Whatever. Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza, who got another victory over Mansoor and Ali, goes to SmackDown. That's interesting. The only thing that makes me think this is a good thing is because with the Street Profits and the New Day and Omos and AJ Styles and also RK-Bro on Raw, there was no way that Angel Garza and Olmos is going to get a lot of airtime or going to be a top team. Todd over on SmackDown, maybe.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right there, like you said, about Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. They just got together and they just debuted on Monday Night Raw and already are on SmackDown.
Yeah, but Mike, it might be a good thing because, like I said, the Raw is really heavy with top tag teams, and I can't see Carrillo and Garza being among them in that field. Over on SmackDown, very possible they could be a top or the top team.
Yeah, it could be the top team. And heck, they're one of the few interesting tag teams that are there, and it's all due to our boy, Garza, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm kind of psyched about this because I think they're going to use them well. Alexa Bliss stays on, goes to Raw. Okay. And Cesaro SmackDown. Okay. Well, we're not going to see Alexa Bliss for a while, so it doesn't really matter. And I don't remember the last time I saw Cesaro. So it is what it is. Let's bounce to round six. Carmella goes to Raw, much to the delight of Corey Graves. But then things get weird. SmackDown takes Ridge Holland, pretty much been untested. We haven't seen a lot of Ridge Holland. And Raw takes Gable Stevenson, who we've seen zero from. So you're taking a guy that you've not seen do one match? Not one match? That's real weird, Todd. I mean, again, this guy could be a total bomb. We don't know.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this Rich Holland guy from NXT, he just came back from an injury not too long ago. And,
that's right.
And he's not ready to be on the main roster yet.
And what about Gable Stevenson, Mike? I mean, we haven't seen him do one match. We know he's an Olympic gold medalist, but that doesn't automatically mean he's going to be a great pro wrestler.
Right. And my thing is, if you want to do this with him, seriously think about bringing back Kurt Angle. I would.
Yeah, at least as a coach. Yeah.
As a coach, you know. I mean, and hell, you know, you got what's his name doing basically the same thing with the Alpha Academy.
And Chad Gable, yeah.
We've seen how that's going over. I mean, it's coming along slowly but surely with Otis, you know. So it couldn't hurt to help have Kurt Angle there.
I agree. If they're gonna push Gable Stevenson, they should have Kurt Angle. Now I'm gonna read you a list of people that Raw got in the after draft. Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, so they stay a team on Raw. Jackson Ryker, who stays there. Veer from Shanky and Veer. Can you believe they broke up that trio? Veer is staying on Raw. We'll talk about that in a minute. Liv Morgan, staying on Raw. Mia Yim, Raw. Tamina, but not Natalya, broke up that team. They were the champions. Tegan Knox, they broke up that team. They beat the champions. Sheldon Benjamin and Cedric Alexander stay, fortunately, even though they're used as jabrones again. Goldberg beat them both up last night. And The Miz stays on Raw. SmackDown gets Shotzi Blackheart, destroying that team. Natalya, destroying that team. And Jinder Mahal and Shanky. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. I don't know why you'd break up Natty and Tamina, when that's the only good that Tamina's going to really be used for. Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Nox barely got there as a tag team. And they beat the tag team champions. And now they're broken up. Why you would break up Veer, Shanky, and Jinder Mahal, I have zero idea. I mean, they've destroyed half their tag team division, Mike. I just don't understand this.
I don't get it either. And look, you probably do have something special in Veer, but he's not ready to be a singles guy yet. All right? Yet. Now, given in a year, yeah, he probably be ready. If he had the draft again next year, yeah, split him up. But he's not ready to be a singles guy yet. That doesn't make sense, you know? I mean, I thought they were headed into possibly making that group a very powerful group, you know? But again, they screw things up. They could have had something good there, but they screwed it up. And I do agree with you about Tamina. The best thing you could do with her is put her with a tag team partner. And that was one of the best potential things because it was somewhat of a bloodline thing. You have the Harts and you have the Snookers, you know?
Right. Right, and I mean, if she went to SmackDown, you could speculate maybe there's more going to happen with Roman Reigns over there or something, but no, it's, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. And as far as Veer and Shanky is concerned, I understand that they might want Veer to be a solo wrestler, but that's okay. But keep him with Jinder Mahal. He's the one that brought him in, so Jinder's kind of like the boss, you know? That doesn't mean they have to be a tag team. All it means is that he has two guys with him as bodyguards. They could wrestle individually. They could wrestle together. They could wrestle as a trio. They could do whatever they want to do. But no, they want to separate them for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know what the reason is for separating Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart. It was a hishka-bibble team anyway, as they say. They didn't really make sense together, but you were the ones who threw them together, and you're the ones who let them beat the tag team champions. So whether it made any sense or not, you did it. And now you take it back. I don't even know if there's enough women's tag team. I don't know how you're going to have a women's tag team division. I don't know. You've broken up two of them. It's not like you got 10 of them. So I don't know how that's going to work. Really just weird. The draft this year has been exceedingly weird. I'm not sure, except one or two things. I'm not sure anybody got helped all that much. I'm really not. I look at all these picks and I say, well, Drew McIntyre probably got helped. He's done all he can do on Raw, and it's probably time for him to move on. So he probably got helped. Kevin Owens probably got helped by his move to Raw. Aside from that, Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo probably got helped by going to SmackDown. I don't see anybody else that was really helped. It's just almost arbitrarily changing. It's no big deal. Everything is like, yeah, big deal. No biggie. What's the difference which woman is waving the belt and which belt it is on whatever brand? It's a women's champion. We get it. You could switch Big E and Roman Reigns. What's the difference? They're going to continue their same storylines. They're going to still be a champion. It really doesn't make any difference which brand they're doing it for. It's the same thing. So I don't think anybody was really super helped. Just a few people, that's it. And I don't think it's changed the landscape. Everybody's, oh, the whole landscape has changed. Not really. Not really at all. A lot of this was just a waste of time. And I guess everybody who hasn't been picked, they can be free agents and they can do whatever they want to do. That would be Elias, who we have stopped seeing vignettes. I don't know what the hell or where the hell we're going to see Elias again. They've done those little vignettes with him saying Elias is dead and it's time for a new whatever. Well, where is it? Jeff Hardy teased he might be doing Willow. This is one of my least favorite characters in the world. Okay, One of my least favorite characters in the world is Willow. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't think it's interesting. I think it's dumb. So let's hope that doesn't happen, but I got a feeling that's what's going to happen. And you've left too many storylines unfinished. We don't even know what happened to Finn Balor. I thought Finn Balor said he wanted revenge on John Cena. Well, when's that going to happen? I thought we were going to get, well, who cut the ropes? Who had the ropes break? Was it some kind of a plan, or is it some kind of a supernatural thing where he's got another enemy that's, you know, in some way supernatural, or is it just a Paul Heyman deal, or did they... You know, we all saw the video where it looked like a cameraman was actually cutting away the rope. Well, you could have had anybody be that cameraman and say, oh, look at that guy. That was really so-and-so cutting those ropes. No, there was no reason for this. None whatsoever. A lot of blind alleys. A lot of blind alleys. And it's a shame because we get, you know, into these things and say, okay, we're looking forward to seeing where this goes, and it goes exactly nowhere. Now, Goldberg comes out last night and reiterates, I thought it was a mistake. I thought Goldberg was going to get called on the carpet for saying he was actually going to kill Bobby Lashley, because I know that that is supposed to be taboo. You can't say that. You can't say murder, kill, anything like that in the WWE. They don't want you to. He doubled down on it. He said it again. He said it again. So apparently if you're Goldberg, you can say it. Now, here's the funny thing. Even though the Hurt Business jumps Goldberg from behind, Bobby Lashley was the one who made the most sense. He says, Bill, what would you do if someone just jumped on your back from behind? What would you do, Bill? And then they jumped on his back from behind and he beat him up, which kind of makes Bobby Lashley's point. You didn't know who was on your back when you flipped him off and crashed him to the mat. How about if that was a kid? So it almost makes Bobby Lashley's point, which I don't understand, Mike, because it makes Goldberg look kind of stupid.
Well, it also makes Bobby Lashley look like at least he's in the gray area. If not, I agree. Because you kind of agree with the man. Now, granted, I think at some point they're going to want to turn Bobby Lashley's face, but not without, in my mind, MVP being there, right? So I mean, and I would be all for the Hurt Business getting back together and becoming, you know, a monster face group.
I would be too. Well, I shouldn't say that. A lot of the things that WWE does is by accident. But you would think if you wanted Bobby Lashley being the big heel going into Crown Jewel, Bobby Lashley would have come out last night and said, you know what, Bill? You're absolutely correct. I did know who jumped on my back. And that's exactly why I put him down. And if he jumps in the ring and does it again, I'm going to give him worse than that. Now, he did say if he does it this time, it won't be on an accident. But all that really does is undermine the fact that, yeah, it really was an accident. Underlines the fact that Bobby Lashley's telling the truth. He really didn't know. And why would you do that? That's not what a heel should say then. A heel should come out and say, yeah, you know what? I'm tired of pretending. I knew it was stupid. It's not no son. And I just thought it would be a good idea to choke him out right in front of you and make him pay for jumping in there because apparently he thinks he's a badass. So you found out what kind of a badass he is, Bill. And if he does it again, if he's stupid enough to do it again, I ain't letting go. No, he didn't. He said, I really didn't know. But if he does it again, then I will do it on purpose, but I didn't know this time. And then says, what would you do if somebody jumped on your back from behind you? And then proves it by having those guys jump on his back behind him and he flips them off. So is this the way you handle a heel? I mean, it did make him very sort of gray area, Todd. I don't get that.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this thing with Bobby Lashley and Goldberg, it looks like Bobby Lashley's acting more like not a heel, not a face, more like a neutral guy, like a neutral turn in here, like a neutral character.
Yeah, and I think that could be coming, Mike, because they've done everything they can do with Bobby Lashley as a heel. Well, who's he going to go against next? He's already lost to Big E. So he's not going to go for that title again, I wouldn't think. So when MVP returns, we may actually see a different feel. They got to get by Saudi Arabia, and then once that happens, I think maybe we will see a turn by Bobby Lashley and company.
And look, remember what we said about the Hurt Business before. And at that point when we said this, they had come out and they were beating up on, 30 guys? The four of them were beating up on 30 guys, right? On 30
yep.
Retribution guys at the time. And we said, uh-oh, this is going to be big. This is going to be special. This is going to be a badass group that when you hear that music, doesn't matter who's in the ring, they're going to get their ass whooped, you know? And
yeah, that's what I thought that was going for.
And hell, I've said it before just now. They could do that, except not have them be heels, have them be kind of, have Bobby Lashley become kind of a Stone Cold Steve Austin type, you know? You don't want to cheer for him, but you cheer for him anyway, you know?
Yeah, listen, there's a lot you could do with Lashley, and if he's going to stay on Raw, which I really thought he wasn't going to, I thought you were going to see the entire Hurt Business drafted over to SmackDown, but since he's staying on Raw, I'm more convinced than ever that they're going to have to flip him. Because he's done everything he can do as a heel. Who's he going to go against? Damian Priest for that belt? And I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they're setting up Damian Priest for Karrion Kross. That's what I think. So Lashley and company, yeah, that would be really good. Now, you got a problem, though, don't you? Because if you make the whole Hurt Business faces, and then you've got the New Day in their faces, and then you've got the Street Profits in their faces, I know what's going to happen. People are going to say, well, are there any, how come you can't make any African-Americans a heel? Well, truthfully, I have a feeling that the Street Profits might just turn. I think the New Day don't do because they'd be booed. That's the problem. Thought about that for a while. Could you turn the New Day heel and really, really run with that? And I said, I don't think so, because it's going to be like Becky Lynch. They're still going to get cheered. They're going to come out with and say their stupid things and make fun of good guys, but they're going to still get cheered and laughed and get laughs and stuff. The Street Profits, we saw a little other side of them at one point, and I said, I could see them being heels. I could see them potentially being heels, and I could see a big feud with the New Day. So I think, Mike, that might be something they're considering down the road, is maybe flipping both of those guys.
Right, and think about this. What's his name's wife? Of course, Bianca Belair. That whole gimmick that she does is not a face gimmick. Yeah, they're playing it as a face gimmick now, but it's really not a face gimmick. It's a heel gimmick. I'm the best.
Yeah.
It's kind of a version of the Mr. Perfect gimmick.
Yep. Yep. Now, to her credit, Bianca Belair has become far more likable. She smiles more and she says less sarcastic things and she seems a little more humble. But yeah, you could turn that right around in a heartbeat. You could turn that around in a heartbeat. It would be interesting. It'd be kind of interesting. So we'll see where this goes. As far as Monday Night Raw last night, Kevin Owens shows up and they do a weird thing with Akira Tozawa that makes no sense. This is what you're going to use Kevin Owens for, huh? He gets in the ring like he's going to do a match. And then Tozawa says he doesn't want to fight. It's just, wow, that was awful, right? Just awful. Reggie, catches Adam Pearce backstage and says, you wanted to see me, and that was obviously a trap. For some reason, the Viking Raiders are in on it. Reggie does some impressive flips, but again, he's not defending his belt. He's just running away from defending it. I don't know what the situation was with Doudrop and Shayna Baszler. That didn't really go anywhere, and then Shayna Baszler gets drafted. So I don't know. I mean, this Raw felt like we don't have to do anything because we have the draft. Now, granted, you did give us Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair. But, I mean, the minute Becky Lynch's music hit and she came out to do commentary, any sane person knew she was interfering. Everybody knew it. You knew there was going to be no conclusion. So it was really a kind of a gimmicked main event that meant nothing. So all in all, I thought this was a very poor Raw. I really did. I don't see anything on here that furthers any storyline much. A couple of things leading into Saudi Arabia, but as far as an actual storyline, the only thing maybe we saw that would further any storyline is Paul Heyman confronted and asked how he made Brock Lesnar a free agent. And that made the Usos kind of desert him. Aside from that, Mike, I don't think there was much really on this show that furthered any storylines.
Right. And look, with what you just said, it's going to be interesting on Friday night to see when they get back there and see them get together with Roman and have that conversation about Paul Heyman and what he did on Monday night, you know, with particularly with Brock Lesnar and stuff. It's got that conversation between the Usos and Roman is going to be interesting.
Yeah, the only thing is, the reason it might not be so logical is Paul Heyman could literally say, well, he's better off a free agent. Because then I can swing him toward maybe going into Raw and away from you. If he was on that draft, how do you know he's not going to get picked first? How do you know he's not going to get picked third? And then he's permanently on here and he has no choice but to go for your belt. So at least this way, we got a chance he's going to swing the other way and go after Big E, right? And maybe I can help lead that direction. At least that makes sense. So I'm not even sure that storyline is going to work out all that well. It's really bizarre what's going on in the WWE right now because they're kind of self-destructive. I watched them break up women's tag teams when they have none. I watched them put two people together who really shouldn't be together, like Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross, because they're much better singles competitors. And you've got them locked down as the tag team champions. And I'm for the life of me, I don't know who they're going to defend them against. Really, really weird stuff. Really strange. I don't know where the WWE thinks they're heading after this crown jewel in Saudi Arabia, but I got a feeling it's one of these up-in-the-air things. I got a feeling they don't know either. That's the problem. I always feel when I'm watching Raw or SmackDown that they're like, we don't really have a direction either. We're flying by the seat of our pants, too. I don't care for that. I like to have that feel that they know where they're going with this and we're not 100% sure. But they've got it written in rock. I don't see this, at least with most of it. I think they've got some plan for Roman Reigns. But aside from that, I'm not sure they have plans for anybody. I think they're flying by the seat of their pants. I really do. And it's a shame. We do have some news to talk about, and that is that now Impact Wrestling is denying that Bray Wyatt is signing with them. They said they are intending on making him an offer, but there was no talks. They are, however, saying that they're close to signing Braun Strowman, who's now going to call himself Titan, I guess. So that's one thing. So Bray Wyatt remains up in the air. Now, he does have the 98-day no-compete. Everybody knows that. But, man, for a guy with his reputation and the amount of merchandise he can sell, you would think someone was already going to snatch him up, even if they couldn't use him for a while. You could advertise him for 30 days. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Doesn't mean he has to be there tomorrow. So I'm puzzled by this. I really am puzzled by this. And I'm wondering if there's any chance whatsoever that the WWE is attempting to lure him back. Because usually by this time, somebody who leaves the WWE, they solidified another job. Even if they got to wait the 90 days, they still know where they're going at the end of it. No one seems to know where Bray Wyatt's going. AEW is saying, yes, we'd be interested, but they're not saying they've talked to him. Impact Wrestling is saying, yeah, we're definitely interested. And, you know, we've had some people who know him talk to him and make a pitch, but we don't have anything solid or anything. So all we know about Bray Wyatt is all the companies are presumably interested, but he's not made any commitment. And it makes me wonder, Mike, because most people by this time, they've made some kind of commitment and they know where they're going. He's only got like 10, 15 more days before he can compete.
Right. And is it going to be one of these things where within 2 days of him competing, we'll know, you know, within 2 days, he shows up on, I don't know, Impact, or he shows up on AEW, or hell, even shows up back on either SmackDown or Raw, you know? We don't know. I mean, it could be that. It could be coming down to the end of the thing, whichever makes him the best offer. I mean, depending on how he, money rules the world, of course, but depending on how he feel, if his anger or his disappointment in the WWE has subsided enough. And now all the
We're kind of losing you on your phone. It sounds like your phone is getting wonky, but I understood what you said. Yeah, it does depend. But this would be one of the really, really – I think this would be a big deal. If the WWE was able to bring him back, I think fans would be like, whoa, that's actually a big step. WWE admitting they were wrong, re-signing him, and here we go again with whatever they want to do with Bray Wyatt. It is weird, Todd, that he would wait this long and still no announcement.
I'm absolutely right there, like you said, about Bray Wyatt not getting signed by AEW or Impact. But by the sounds of it, if he's not re-signed
by... Wow, all the phones are going bad. I don't know. I guess we're having a problem with the connection. So let's just go to our ratings. This week, listen, the draft was not interesting enough. It just wasn't interesting or varied enough, or it wasn't important enough. That was a disappointment. Wrestling, I'm giving this a D, Mike. I just don't see this as a very entertaining show.
I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to go D minus. I did like the fact that we finally saw Sasha Banks back again, but it's not enough to save it. D minus.
Yeah, isn't that sad? You know, it should have been a better show. It should have been a much better show. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I got to give it a D as well.
Wow. Once again, Raw goes back to being a failure. I guess we should not be surprised. We'll see what happens after Crown Jewel, if they can reset this thing and get the engine running again. But listen, I'm losing faith quick. It seems like the WWE's flying by the seat of their pants here. We'll talk to you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.